Welcome to Layers with CompTIA's IT security community. Here, we talk to experts who work in IT security and help identify ways to protect your clients and their privacy.
All right. Thanks for joining us today at the Layers podcast with the IT security community. Today, we're going to be talking a little bit about ransomware and how our industry as security and as managed service providers can respond to this changing threat. Today, we have Ole Thordarson with Avaka Networks to talk about what he's seeing out in the marketplace. And so, Ole, welcome. And can you tell us a little bit about yourself and Avaka?
Thank you very much. Yeah. Avaka Networks is, I would suggest that we're an early pioneer in the managed service space, having been in the space for 15 plus years. We target primarily the mid-market or the mid-size enterprise space. We have a network operations center that we run out of Irvine, California. It's staffed with U.S.-based personnel 24 hours a day. And we're really positioned to solve the problems unique to the mid-size enterprise, such as patch management as a service is a key thing. You know, when clients have 1,000, 2,000-plus servers, patching those in a production environment and keeping them up and running and narrowing down service windows and just getting everything done right is a big challenge. And that's what we're good at.
Awesome. Well, thank you. You know, you had reached out to myself and to others within the IT security community about some things that you're seeing out there in the marketplace. And, you know, in regards to ransomware and as it's evolving as a threat, could you share just kind of what it is that you're seeing that you're trying to bring attention to?
Yeah, in the last 6 months, or about 6 months ago, I saw a marked change in ransomware as it threatens the business community. You know, early versions, you know, going back a few years of ransomware would have automated, you know, bots that would go out and infect a victim system and encrypt, you know, rename all the files and encrypt everything and then ask for one Bitcoin. And at the time, that would be $300, $600, $1,200. Wasn't terribly expensive. But I also saw those same ransom hits get some pretty big companies, you know, with hundreds and hundreds of users or maybe even thousands. I thought, wow, and they're asking for one Bitcoin. They just don't even know what they have over here. So I figured it was not going to be long before these ransomware people would figure out, you know, that they should be finding out how big a client they were hitting. And it took a lot longer than I thought, but it really started happening about 6 months ago. I would say that the ransomware guys now are collecting information on their victim and counting. I think they're probably pricing their model the same way that we do as managed service providers. They're counting the number of users, the number of servers, the amount of storage and CPUs and that sort of thing. And then they're pricing accordingly. So I've seen $1 million ransoms and I've seen $1 million ransoms paid in the past 6 months. And what's different is they might use, you know, scripts and automation to and bots to break into, you know, victim systems. But I think when they figure out that they've got a big client or a big victim on hand, they're spending about 3 months setting the stage for the takedown. And I'm convinced that there's some guy sitting in some conference room in the Ukraine somewhere with a big ink board, and they're navigating through this network and mapping everything out that they can discover. And when they finally pull the trigger, they know exactly where all the critical, you know, servers and, you know, are in all the critical files. And most importantly, they know where the backups are. And so they pull the trigger and they rename all the files, they encrypt everything, and then they delete the backups. And that's the game changer, is that they're deleting the backups. So now there's no recovery option for most clients that get hit this way. And the other key change is that they seem to be focusing on hitting, you know, on a Friday or on a holiday weekend. I think the advantage is there that gives them time to get everything encrypted. And when it comes to responding, especially if it's over like Christmas holiday, where we saw a couple big takedowns, over the holidays, the IT staff of the company that's hit, they're not even around. So they're completely flat-footed.
That's amazing stuff. I've seen myself in the news just some of the municipalities that have been hit. Does that kind of falling into the same attack pattern?
Yeah, I don't know particularly about the one in the city of Atlanta. I think they've even been hit twice, but I think it was pretty similar takedown where they, for whatever reason, they didn't have recoverable backups. I will tell you, in the ones that I've been familiar with, the clients were doing backups and they had what would be otherwise recoverable backups, most of them based on Veeam, and the backups were just deleted. And so there was really no path for recovery. And so I can tell you in a couple recent ones, a publicly traded company was hit. They run coast to coast in all 50 states at the retail level. They were down for 11 days and had to pay in excess of, basically a 7-digit ransom in order to get their data back. They didn't have any other options because everything was gone. That same week, there was another hit, almost exactly the same MO. The only reason that client didn't have to pay the ransom was that they had one of their DBAs download the Crown Jewel database of their company to a completely disconnected system as he was planning on doing some testing. And that was the only reason they had a recoverable backup, or they would have been paying a big ransom as well.
Wow. So that recoverable backup, obviously, that's as you said, that's the game changer now. That's what's making it from a hassle to crippling for a business.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, whatever you're doing with your backups, you got to make sure that it's, completely segregated, disconnected, separate credentials than what you normally do on your backup systems. And don't just think copying stuff up to the cloud is going to be good enough, because I've seen clients with that strategy, and if that cloud access is the same credentials as admining the network, or if it's a mapped drive up into the cloud, that stuff's going to be encrypted as well.
Wow! So it gets back down to the classic struggle between the convenience, right, of all single sign-ons everywhere and everything all connected, versus then that layer of security that we're losing with that convenience.
Absolutely.
In an era of perpetual disruption, much of it propelled by breakthroughs in business technology, access to industry insights and expertise is more essential than ever. So is CompTIA. We're your nonprofit global tech association connecting leading innovators with the experienced technology solution providers who together are actively redefining the state of business technology. If your business builds, sells, influences, or drives the adoption of technology, CompTIA is the place for you. We help you and all the levels of your organization succeed through unbiased industry insight, credible guidance, and supportive collaborations that help you transform the way you do business. Become a member today at comptia.org/register.
So it seems like there is a role here to be played, from security providers or from managed service providers in general. What can they do, or what should they be thinking about, as their own organizations to combat this, so they don't have to tell their client that everything's gone?
Right. Well, first off, there's an existential threat to our business model going on right now, because the ransomware purveyors or criminals, whatever you want to call them, they are specifically going after MSPs today and other IT service providers, because and they're going over after service providers of all sorts, not just IT service providers. And what they're finding is that if they break into an IT service provider, an MSP, there can be a treasure trove of access to dozens or hundreds of additional potential victims. And if the MSP is not handling their information correctly, there might be a bunch of login credentials and other, information available that's going to be a complete treasure to these guys to go navigate and exploit other victims. And I don't know the firsthand information because I wasn't directly involved, but there have been a number of MSP breaches in the past few months or couple months. And I know in one case, it was an MSP with about 80 clients. And as it was reported in things I read on Reddit and elsewhere, they had about 80 clients, of which the ransomware people then went and ransomed those clients. And, you know, this is just a huge potential problem for our profession. I'm of the belief that most MSP clients are better off and safer than clients or end users that don't have an MSP working with them and protecting them. But I think if we get a lot of outbreaks like this, the message that's going to get picked up by the likes of the Wall Street Journal and NBC News and whoever else is will cover a story like this, it's going to be, hey, you can't trust your service providers. They're placing you at risk. And I think we have to take some extra steps as a profession to make sure that we lock down our systems and protect them. And I'll give a plug for the CompTIA Security Trustmark and Trustmark Plus programs. We are, Alvaca's long, for a long time has been, an approved Trustmark holder for the Security Trustmark from CompTIA. This 800 controls in there are a great framework for securing our systems. And, you know, if anybody on this call is not pursuing the Trustmark or pursuing the NIST 800 security controls, we should all be doing that as a profession.
And that's a big push from our IT security community has been, hey, be aware of these that NIST framework. Be aware of opportunities to improve your security posture and understand what's been determined to be stakes, right? Playing stakes in order to get in here. You can't be offering little half solutions for security.
Yeah, and you know what? I will tell you too, it's a good business development tool as well. We've had a number of clients that as we've entered through the contractual phase of signing on the clients, they've asked, what security controls we have in place and, do we have the SSAE 16 audits or what have you. And we've, told them that we have the CompTIA Security Trustmark Plus, and they've asked about it. CompTIA does a great job of providing a little checklist to show what controls are involved with Trustmark Plus. And that's proven to be more than satisfactory. And more importantly, it's a differentiator for us. You know, when we do tours through our facility with prospective clients, we tell them that we have the Trustmark and that, they should be checking with whoever else they're talking to find out what security measures and third party, attestation to that, those controls are that they have. And I think it's a good differentiator for us. I will tell you too, on two occasions, a couple of the larger organizations that we've been talking to have actually called over to CompTIA headquarters in Illinois and talked to somebody to, one, verify that we really did have the Trustmark, and two, to ask more questions about it. And in both cases, we got those deals. And so, at any rate, I think pursuing good security measures as a IT service provider makes good business sense and good business development sense.
Good. And so that's one thing then that those individual organizations can be doing. But then let's maybe pull back a level, right? And let's take a look at the community or the industry as a whole. It seems like there's opportunities for roles to be played there to address this and kind of get to the bottom of what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. With the threats that we're facing as a IT service provider, or MSP, profession or community, we need to be finding out from these companies that were breached how they were breached. And, I can't call up these companies that I've heard were breached and go talk to my counterpart. Maybe I can, but probably most likely they're going to be reluctant to talk to me. I'm a potential competitor. They don't know who I am. Am I going to be confidential? I'm not necessarily an impartial third party. But I think there's a role out in the world there somewhere for, you know, CompTIA or an MSP alliance, or, you know, maybe an analyst company or trade press or somebody to go out and talk to these companies and find out what happened and how they were breached, and to, you know, get into the forensics specifically. And that information needs to be collated and organized, and it needs to be broadcast back out to the IT service provider community so that we know exactly how these breaches happen, so we can build in specific protections against those types of threats. And, you know, I've had chats with you. Recently I had a chat as well with Todd Thibodeau, the you know, president CEO of CompTIA. I think CompTIA is in a good, unique place to be able to confidentially reach out, sign NDAs with these companies, and find out what happened, you know, and talk to them and say, for the good of the whole industry and even your good, you know, we need to get on top of this, you know, tell us what happened, and we'll publish the information without revealing who you are. I think that's an essential role right now for our industry. And there's not many companies or organizations that are in a position to fulfill that role, but I think that's one that CompTIA is uniquely qualified to fulfill.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think that would be you know, worthwhile to bring that up with our the executive council group, with our community. So that would be fascinating. And I think kind of maybe related to that can be, you know, some other research around it, you know, to show the effectiveness of working with an MSP versus not.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I don't have hard data myself, but, you know, our clients, you know, the incidences of ransomware that I mentioned at the beginning of this program were new clients coming into Alvaca. Our clients, I can tell you, have almost zero incidences of getting ransomware. And I know it's because they follow a lot of good practices as set forth by, you know, my IT teams and, you know, VCIOs and whatnot, who we have, you know, counseling our clients and my staff that helps them implement security measures and all that. So, you know, fortunately, our clients have a very, very low incidence of ransomware. And I believe that most other MSP clients fall into that same category, where their incidence of ransomware is vastly lower than the, you know, population of companies without an MSP guiding them and helping them through the gauntlet of, you know, security things that have to be handled. So while I don't have particular data on that, again, I'd like to see, you know, some sort of association like CompTIA go out and gather that information. I was talking for the past 2 or 3 weeks, I've been talking with a cyber insurance provider, and they don't have the data that they're willing to provide me, at least, and certainly not for this purpose. But, you know, their evidence evidently shows that clients of MSPs are safer than those without. And that's the kind of information that we need to be able to get to publish. Because my concern is that if we get another bout of MSPs getting breached and their clients getting ransomware, and we get a big noisy, you know, amount of negative press on this as a profession, it's going to hurt all of our business within the industry. And the message that's going to get missed is that, hey, yeah, this is a problem and it needs to be addressed. And what's going to get missed is that as an industry, we are taking steps to address it. And the most important thing that will be missed is that MSP clients are safer on the whole. Sure, there's been some problem attacks, but on the whole, clients are safer with an MSP than without. And that's the kind of proactive PR messaging and leadership that we need to provide as MSPs and security leaders within the IT community.
That's great. Right. that's great stuff. So before I let you go, I do have the big question that maybe people are wondering themselves, that if they get ransomed and they receive a demand, you know, be it $10,000 for, you know, over $1 million value of data, or if it's more equivalent than that, I've seen an array of recommendations up to this point. What would you recommend that they pay the ransom today if they're unable to recover it, if everything's locked out? What do they have an option?
Yeah, that's a tough question and a totally legit question to ask. And it's a tough one because it involves a question of, you know, morality. You know, what's the morally right thing to do? It's a question of pragmatism, and it's a question of, you know, financial fiduciary duty. And, you know, first off, on the morality front, yeah, you don't want to pay these guys because it just makes their business model more profitable. And it might be a criminal business model, but it is a business model nonetheless. And if you feed them and make them prosper, they're going to continue to do it. So, you know, I've seen some people in the industry and I've seen some people in law enforcement say, oh, you just never pay it. Well, that's the moral answer, and that's certainly one answer. There's a pragmatic answer that, you know, if everything's gone, you know, how do you reconstruct it? And the only really pragmatic thing to do might be to pay the ransom to get it back if you put the morality part aside. And then at the other end of the spectrum, it becomes a moral question again on the financial side, in that most companies, you know, really all companies have shareholders or owners somewhere that they owe a financial fiduciary duty to maintain the financial viability and protect the company. And if all your data is encrypted and gone and all your backups are gone and you've got nothing and the company faces almost certain ruin and maybe complete evisceration financially and maybe, you know, bankruptcy or liquidation, if the data can't be brought back, then there is the moral obligation to the shareholders, whoever those may be, to pay the ransom and get the information back and get the company reconstituted as soon as possible. So you really have, you know, a pragmatic solution in some cases, bookended by two moral decisions that you have to make. And those moral decisions can be conflicting, but, so in that case, I would say, yeah, I mean, as unpalatable as it is, if you have a bunch of shareholders and a bunch of company value and a bunch of people working there that have jobs that they're counting on at the company, and your only way to really you know, resurrect from all that is to pay the ransom and get going again, then as unpalatable as it is, you pay the ransom, unfortunately.
That's tough, and I hate to leave us on that note, but... you know, so let's turn that back around a little more positive again, and just to hit back on the points that we've been addressing today. So we've seen that the ransomware attacks are becoming more sophisticated. They're learning to hit us better. They're learning to ask for more money. You know, the image of just some, you know, young teenager in their, you know, basement, as it were, and just messing with companies really isn't the reality. There's some sophisticated attack operations happening out there, and they're making money doing this. So we want to strengthen our individual security postures within the providers. We want to build up a library of information so we can analyze these attacks. We want to be able to combat a PR move that may say, hey, MSPs, you're not safe. Don't, you know, they're lying to you, or they're not as trustworthy as they want you to believe. We have to be able to combat that message as well. So I'd like to end on those more positive tones of hey, there's work to be done. But it does look like there's a path for us to follow. Would you agree, Oli?
Yeah, what you just said couldn't have been said better in summary of what we just talked about. That's exactly what we need to be doing as an industry and as professionals within the industry.
Awesome. Well, thank you for your time and for sharing this information. I'm looking forward to seeing if we can do more. I think, as I said, as the liaison between CompTIA and our IT security community, this is something that's very interesting to me, and I'd like to raise it again and see what else we can do with this. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
And everybody, I do encourage you, if you are not already, go ahead and please join the IT security community. You can do that through CompTIA.org. If you just stumbled across this podcast, please feel free to subscribe. Keep an eye out for other initiatives and resources and virtual meetings and all kinds of great stuff we've got coming up for you. And my last plug, of course, will be for ChannelCon, which CompTIA hosts coming up in August. That first week of August will be at the Bellagio. Looking forward to seeing all our friends across the industry come on in for that. So thank you, everybody, for listening.
CompTIA benefits provide members with a wealth of resources that, when leveraged, result in measurable impact, helping to grow IT businesses and careers. Become a member today at CompTIA.org/register.
Thank you for listening to Layers, a podcast by CompTIA's IT security community. Subscribe to this and all the CompTIA community podcasts. Just search for CompTIA on your favorite podcast app.